So who would like to ask some questions or comments or commitments?
Yeah, Michael Feinberg from the Labor Religion Coalition and part of the Justice for Farmworker campaign in New York State. We've been fighting for 10 years now to pass legislation in New York State that would give farmworkers the same basic rights as every other worker that we all just take for granted. And we've been unable in our strategy thus far to separate out the small farmers from the power of the Farm Bureau in New York State and to bring them to a what should be a natural alliance with the farm workers. But thus far, it hasn't worked at all, and the farm workers themselves in the fields have not gained a critical mass that they can leverage the industry to the table. So I'm interested in hearing any strategies that have worked for people that will build that alliance and move the industry. And here in New York State, the industry is very diverse. There's duck farmers, there's apple orchards, there's onion growers, there's dairy. So it's not even one coherent industry. It's very diverse. So we're looking for strategies that could work.
Eric Nicholson with the United Farm Workers wanted to address that issue.
Yeah, I'm from the states of Oregon and Washington, and actually if your New York Farm Bureau would have talked to the Oregon Farm Bureau, I think they'd get quite a different perspective. We've been actually fighting the Oregon Farm Bureau to keep a bill just like that from getting approved. And what we've seen in Oregon is that the growers want to bring us under the coverage of the National Labor Relations Act, and we have no interest in being covered. Primarily because it's not working for the rest of labor, so we'll pass. And we can do a lot more outside of the scope of the act than we can under. But it's a bizarre situation where we have organized labor, the state fed, the chain swing unions, us, all fighting employers who are trying to impose a collective bargaining bill on ag. So I know we've talked to CETA and folks in New York about it, but we do have a different perspective about that. And I think, you know, what Baldamar's talking about is these, you know, creative campaigns that Flock has been doing. These corporate campaigns, the boycotts, our experience has been the degree to which you have to run them under the act slows you down and undermines your ability to run these effective campaigns.
Other comments, questions?
Wanted to add to that, the problem with people who are really poor, farm workers especially, is that you don't want to get us in a legal process. Because those food companies and those growers are going to have 10 times more money, lawyers, to delay you, to postpone, to continue, to blah, blah, blah. And farm workers don't have those kinds of resources. And so it's better to go without rather than something that's going to just tie you into, it's going to break your whole system. So I'm not all that excited about doing legislation for farm workers. What we need to do is spend our resources, time, and finding one good organizer for your area. Only takes one. I mean, I was trained by Fred Ross, the guy that trained Cesar Chavez. And one of his axioms was that an organizer is a social arsonist. And it only takes one spark to start a forest fire. So if you could spend 6 months finding a right organizer, a farm worker who comes out of that experience and background, heck, I'm sure Eric and myself, send him over to us and work for a few months over here. We'll train him for you and send him back and get that fire started.
Thank you, Baldamar.
I'm Jessica Shearer from CUNY Labor Institute, and I just wanted to make a quick comment just that people's work here is incredibly inspiring. Like, I am really moved by the things that people are able to do on the ground, like at the site of production, as somebody who usually just interacts with food as an eater. It's really exciting that folks are doing such important work to protect it. I was interested in what our comrade from France had to say about the legal tool you guys were able to use, in that there was the growers had not gotten the necessary authorization to grow these crops. And I was just curious about what that authorization was, because I'm not sure that we have anything similar. And I had a quick question for our comrade from Mexico, which was just whether or not there's any organizing on the part of Villa Campesina, if in fact Obrador wins this election and we're able to raise the question of NAFTA, whether or not there's any organizing on either side of the border prepared to take advantage of that opening.
Okay, so we have two questions for France and for Mexico. Maybe we'll start with France. Josie Riffo.
Oui, je n'ai pas donné suffisamment de précision. Ce qui se passait, c'est que c'était des essais. En France, jusqu'à l'année dernière, il n'y avait pas de culture d'OGM. On était dans les essais.
What I didn't explain clearly enough is that these were field trials. Up until last year, we did not have any authorized use of GMOs, and all we had were field trials.
Pour les essais, il y a des protocoles très sévères de déclaration en mairie, avec des délais très précis, et nous nous sommes rendus compte qu'ils n'étaient pas respectés par Monsanto, par Syngenta ici.
So doing field trials requires all kinds of paperwork, all proof being shown and statements given, and we came to find out that these had not been correctly filed.
Pour l'année à venir, cette saison 2006 va sûrement être très difficile parce que maintenant, nous sommes dans un vide juridique, c'est-à-dire qu'il y a une autorisation de cultiver les OGM, le Monsanto 810 BT, mais il n'y a pas d'encadrement de la loi. La loi n'a pas encore été votée. Donc, nous sommes dans une situation très absurde. Nous ne savons pas exactement comment ça va se passer. Certains gros paysans disent avoir semé déjà. Au moins, on en connaît un qui a semé 100 hectares. Et nous ne savons pas encore comment nous allons le neutraliser. Mais de toutes les façons, nous allons beaucoup communiquer. Et surtout sur cette idée que il n'y a pas de transparence. S'il n'y a pas de transparence, il n'y a pas de démocratie. S'il n'y a pas de démocratie, c'est que ça confirme que les OGM ont des méthodes totalitaires et donc n'ont rien à faire en Europe.
What is going to be particularly difficult is this growing season 2006 because we're kind of in a legal black hole. The growing of GMOs has now been authorized. Specifically, the Monsanto's BT-A10, which is a corn variety, but there has been no legal framework established for their use. It's completely absurd, the situation that we find ourselves in, and we really don't know what's going to happen next. We are informed that some big farmers have planted them. We have information about one who was said to have planted 100 hectares. But we know nothing more. So our position is going to be that where there has not been transparency, where there has not been public information about this, and there hasn't been any democracy, and that just goes to prove what we are saying is that GM agriculture is totalitarian agriculture.
Resultado de esa movilización del año 2003. Sí. Por lo menos ha significado que el gobierno mexicano haga una consulta.
The result for that 2003 mobilization has required that the Mexican government consults
al gobierno de Estados Unidos y Canadá,
the government of the United States and Canada,
sobre la posibilidad de darle un trato distinto al maíz y al frijol.
Over the possibility of giving a different treatment to the corn and beans.
Por supuesto que no ha sido una consulta de alto nivel, ha sido una consulta de mediano nivel.
Of course, it hasn't been a high level consultation, but a low level consultation.
Porque al gobierno, hoy al gobierno mexicano no le interesa en lo más mínimo renegociar el capítulo agropecuario del Tratado de Libre Comercio.
Because the Mexican government is not interested, at the very least, in renegotiating that chapter.
Y con López Obrador platicamos y le dijimos, necesitamos renegociar el capítulo agropecuario del Tratado de Libre Comercio.
And we told him that we needed to renegotiate the chapter of free commerce.
El 2008 es apertura total.
The 2008 is the total opening.
Ya los tres productos que aparentemente tienen cierta protección.
Now the three products that apparently have a total protection.
Maíz, frijol y leche en polvo.
Corn, beans and powdered milk.
López Obrador es el menos malo.
López Obrador is the least of all the evils.
Nos dijo maíz y frijol, buscamos darle otro trato renegociar.
He told us corn and beans, we need to give another treatment to it and we need to renegotiate it.
Un subsidio directo que tenemos, que le llaman Procampo, dice lo vamos a mantener por lo menos 6 años más.
A direct subsidy that we have that says we're going to keep it from Procampo says that we're going to keep it for at least another 6 more years.
Este subsidio termina formalmente el 2008.
This subsidy formally ends in 2008.
Y también nos dice, necesitamos crear empleos.
It also says that we need to create jobs.
Y en el sureste tenemos unas tierras muy buenas para plantaciones de eucalipto.
In the southeast, we have a very good land for planting eucalyptus.
Entonces entramos en mucha discusión y después mucha más con su equipo que le está preparando su sus propuestas.
And then we started discussions with the team that is preparing the proposals.
Y decidimos, vamos a apoyar a López Obrador.
And we decided, let's support López Obrador.
No por esas 2 millones de hectáreas de eucalipto, que vamos a estar en contra de eso.
Not for those 2 millions of hectares of eucalyptus, we're going to be against that.
Sino porque nos va a dar un respiro.
But because it's going to give us a break.
Y en agosto del año que entra, estamos buscando.
In August of next year, we're looking for
tener una movilización campesina y con los sindicatos aliados.
We're looking to have a country or a campesinos mobilization and with the allies.
Más fuerte, más importante que la del 2003.
Stronger and more important than the one from 2003.
Desde las regiones, desde las localidades.
From the regions and the localities.
Porque no queremos emigrar por razones de pobreza.
Because we do not want to immigrate because of poverty reasons.
Y porque queremos con alternativas arraigarnos en nuestros pueblos y comunidades.
And because we want the alternatives to remain and grow roots in our own communities.
Si no gana López Obrador, este país, México, se va en los siguientes años a convulsionar mucho.
If López Obrador doesn't win, this country of Mexico will convulse very much.
Muchos estallidos sociales, mucha protesta.
There's going to be a lot of protests and social explosions.
Y dicen nuestros viejos ejidatarios, campesinos.
And our old countrymen say,
la historia en México es cíclica.
The history in Mexico is cyclical.
En 1810, la independencia de México.
In 1810, Mexican independence.
En 1910, la revolución en México.
In 1910, revolution in Mexico.
Y el 2010 nos toca, si no hay cambios, de nuevo tener un fuerte movimiento.
And 2010, if there is no change, then we need to make a strong change in Mexico.
This is actually an example that could be looked at in New York. One of the things that we've been talking about all day today is where is the space between unions and farmers to come together? I've worked with the farm worker movement in the Northwest for the last 16 years, and this is not a natural conversation for us to be having. For those 16 years, we have fought growers tooth and nail, the same growers that Baldemar talked about that have tried to reduce unemployment benefits for workers, that reduced minimum wage, reduced health and safety inspections on the work site, fired our members for articulating complaints. At the same time, we've launched a number of strikes. Workers have staged tens of independent walkouts demanding better treatment and wages in the fields. And when we finally sat down and took a look at the economics, for example, the apple industry, which is our big industry in the state of Washington, much to our dismay, we realized that for every dollar a consumer spends on apples, 11 cents is getting back to the farm gate. So as a trade unionist, how are we going to provide a living wage and benefits to workers if what we're ultimately fighting over with the growers is 11 cents and how that 11 cents is going to be allocated? We're fighting over chump change. So what we are now trying to do is reach out to the very growers, as Baldemar so eloquently said, that have been so abusive to our community for the last eternity, to find a new way to do this. And it's an uncomfortable road. It's a road we have to deal with the legacy of racism. But it's a road that we have to do if we are going to survive. And so today we're in an international setting to explore this, because not only are we having to deal with this on a local level and a state level, but agriculture by definition is global. We're dealing with one of the largest dairies in the world with 55,000 cows. It's funded by French capital, has sold milk at different times to Irish-owned and French-owned food processing plants. It was created as a response to the retail consolidation by a family cooperative of 142 family dairymen. So if we don't get our handles on where the food industry is going, as growers and workers, our future is bleak. And so that's really what we're trying to explore today as we look, you know, within the state of Washington, we look, you know, to George's group and other allies here in the United States and internationally of where is that common ground between unions and farmers. And if we don't figure out a way to build on it, we're all in trouble.
So I apologize to those who still have questions. But the folks that are international visitors are actually in the region, in the area, for the next several days. There's another event at Rutgers going on tomorrow afternoon, and there's a barbecue, which I passed around an invitation. You're all invited to continue the discussion. You know, we're seeing this as a step in a process. You know, tomorrow we're meeting with folks at the Rutgers University. We're going to be taking a farm tour on Friday. We're trying to develop these kind of collaborations and concretize them. So we hope those who are intrigued by some of the new discussions that happened tonight, you know, want to learn more and are frustrated because we can't stay here till 10, can come to the other events, but be involved. We're setting up a process for dialogue and opening the discussion and for action. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about campaigns, strategizing, linking up with students. So I want to thank everybody for coming out. Do you have any final words you want to say?
Just want to say thank you for coming. Thanks to William for putting this whole event together and organizing the details of the trip. Regarding the Global Labor Institute, please go to our website, which is new. It's if you just Google Global Labor Institute or Cornell, you're going to get it. If you're representing a union here, we're looking for union sponsors. One of the criticisms of labor's international work over the last 50 years is it's been sponsored by the US government. And therefore, it does the bidding of the US Department of State and AID. So the challenge before the labor movement, if you want an independent venue, if you want to talk honestly and openly, then you've got to be prepared to put up and support institutes like this where we can bring these discussions to you and work together on these questions. So please consider, if you're a union, consider sponsorship. We have like 20 local sponsors. We have two or three international sponsoring already. And this is the way we want to go. We're from the labor movement, we're here to serve the labor movement, and we're here to work together, bring labor together with other social movements, committed to social and global justice. So thanks everybody for coming, and I'm sorry we had to cut it short, the discussion, but there'll be many other discussions in the future, so we'll keep the lines of communication open. Have a good evening. Bye now.